Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft, and we are as rough as a wedding reception down at the Warriors Social Club. We were in hospitality. What a shock for Ross Wayne in hospitality, spotted again. And he's with me today, feeling just about as rough, Ross.
Tired, mate. Yeah, thank you. Sunday night's always a bit tired anyway, but even more so after a long day yesterday. And it was a long day, but it turned out a really, really good day as well.
It was a cracking day. You know, we went into hospitality, as ever, the club treated us really, really well, and there was a special edition in the hospitality in the fact that someone had put up Rosspitality and actually said Ross's usual seat in hospital.
That was a nice wee touch, fair play.
I think I know who it was that did it, and I think I've got my suspicions who did that, but I won't grasp them in. There was another thing. You met your hero, Ross. Now, I had never heard of this guy, the padded seat, who is a guy who basically travels the country and reviews hospitality for a living. He has a YouTube channel, The Padded Seat. We were chatting away to him, and he's like your hero. It was like the king meeting the prince of hospitality.
He's a really good guy. I never actually assumed we'd ever see him at a Falkirk game, to be honest, but luck would have it that he was in Scotland this weekend and chose to review Falkirk. So yeah, it was great to meet him. Shout out to, he did say he was going to give us a listen, so I don't know if it'll be this week's or last week's, but shout out to Kyle. He does a cracking job there. If anyone's interested in that type of thing at all, it sounds a bit boring, but he's quite a quirky.
It sounds a bit boring. You love it.
Well, I do, but yeah, it's my version of, like, I don't know,
porn
or somewhere. Yeah. He goes round the world, actually. It's not just the UK. He goes round the world reviewing sort of sport.
I know, he was telling us he was at the Spurs Chelsea game, which was the during the week, which was an absolute cracking game, and then he was at that game yesterday, the Dunfermline game on Friday night as well.
Yeah, that's a bit of a
what a journey. And he was at the Bulls as well in Livingston, doing hospitality at the Bulls.
I think that was his main reason for being in Scotland, to be honest. I think they had him up, and he then decided to take in a few Scottish games, so fair play to him for coming along. And I don't think he's put the Falkirk video out yet, so if anybody's interested, though, it's at Padded Seat on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. However, as John says, he's got a YouTube channel that has the slightly longer videos, and he's visited hundreds and hundreds of different sporting venues, so give him a watch if you can.
No, absolutely. And thanks to Stevie Jackson, if you've been in hospitality before, does a cracking job. In fact, I think he was ready to hand over the job to Ross yesterday because he's obviously been in so much. You know, you usually get the spiel for Stevie at the start of the match when you go into the boardroom, talks about the trophies and all that sort of stuff. And it looks like they're doing quite a bit up there. The Heritage Trust have certainly had a lot of, you know, the Business Club helped them out, and they're making big differences to the lounges there, Ross.
Yeah, it's all coming together really, really, really well, and they're not finished. So as Stevie said, the boxes are all done. The Alec Parker lounge is now done as well. The last couple of things they're going to do, I think he mentioned something about the Bravo lounge, and then the boardroom itself, they're going to be creating different sections within the boardroom that's going to be for trophies from obviously having won the league or cup competitions, and then I think he said was pre-season tours or friendlies, that type of thing. So it all sounds really, really interesting, and yeah, huge shout out to the guys at the Heritage Trust and the Business Club, who I think helped them with the finance for it. Yeah. So, but yeah, if anybody can get themselves along to one of the many options how you can do hospitality. It doesn't have to be something massively expensive. I think they, for these cup games coming up, I think they have hospitality for 40 or starts at £40 or something like that. So give it a look if you can.
I had a total beamer yesterday, I have to admit. You know, we went for the paid bar option, so it was like obviously try and get as much drink. Ross was like, I tried to do a double round, was denied. Absolutely denied. Yeah. However, I was told that they take the wine and stuff away from the table. So I thought, I'm not having that. It's, you know, we're paid for the wine, we'll get that. So I hid a bottle of wine under the table and I went in at half time and it was gone. So they obviously corked it. What a beamer. I was like, oh no.
Obviously been there, done that, got the t-shirt, haven't they? So
but we got wine at the end anyway, so it was great, treated us brilliantly and had a great time.
They did, John, and I think I know we're not going to go too much into detail because we don't know all the details, but they did so in terms of the staff. They did so with an extra situation going on, didn't they? So there was unfortunately a Bairns fan taken unwell during the first half, which then led to a quite a busy couple of hours then for the staff and the stewards and stuff. So a massive shout out to them, but obviously our thoughts are with the Bairns fan who's hopefully recovering as well as they can.
Fingers crossed. It was a scary couple of moments, that. So fingers crossed. Thoughts and prayers, obviously, with the family. Got to put a shout out to our sponsor, Ross, who joined us in hospitality yesterday. We led Peter from Haldane Construction a little bit awry. We took him up the town afterwards to the Queen Sheaf. He thoroughly enjoyed it. And thank you very much to his beautiful wife, Marie, who gave me a lift home at the end of the night. So thank you, Marie, for giving me a lift home. I was just like, I'll get out of here. And they're like, no, we'll take you home, because they live beyond. But thanks so much for that. And obviously, Haldane Construction are our sponsors this season. We're talking to Peter. We kept going on about the swimming pool and, you know, the fact he'd put in a swimming pool once. And loads of great stuff happening at the company. They've been the center about for over two decades. So if you're looking for a project to get done, speak to Peter and the team, doing loads in the community. We're talking about that yesterday as well, how much he's put in and how much he's loving being involved with Falkirk. You know, he's really put a load into the club this season. So we thanks Peter and his team for doing so. And remember, if you're looking for like any projects you've got, speak to the guys, they'll sort you out. They've got a collaborative approach to everything. They'll keep you in touch, you know, and quality and loyalty is at the heart of the business. That's the most important thing. So get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk, get them on Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook, or pop Peter an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Back on hospital, we'll see they're doing a ladies' day. It's the one time you won't get into hospitality, Ross.
No, I don't know what date it is, but yeah, I'm sure I'm not in that day. But I noticed we didn't get asked to host this one. Dave Max got this gig. So where was our chat about?
I've done quite happily hosted that. Obviously, the ginger god of pod himself, you know, an absolute pin-up. So you know. You should be hosting ladies' day. Give the ladies a treat. Give them what they want. You know,
it's a treat for the ears and the eyes, isn't it? So, but no, fair play to Dave Mack. He's a fantastic DJ as well. I think as well as hosting him, I think he's DJing it as well. So, but yeah, hopefully that I see it was planned by not just the club, but people who had went to the last ladies' day. So they've helped sort of form this one and what's going to happen and how it's all going to take place. So if there is anybody listening who does want to go through and get involved at the ladies' day, they're on sale now, aren't they, John?
Yep, there you go. 70, you can get them, all the details at the club. I think it's £75 happening against Game of Montrose on the 3rd of February. All the usual stuff, VIP parking, two-course meal, half-time tea and coffee, all that sort of stuff, and a bit of a party hosted by the one, the only Dave Mack. So he'll be all on that. So get all the details on the Falkirk website. John McGlynn and Finn Yeats for our monthly awards. Finn getting player of the month and John McGlynn getting the manager of the month yet again. And luckily that manager of the month curse has not hit us as of yet. So we got the win yesterday. And John obviously always gets the picture. I think it's a kind of done thing that the whole backroom staff get a picture taken now. But yeah, Finn Yeats, player of the month, do you think?
For me, yeah, Mr. Consistent. There's a strong argument that he's player of the season so far, which is a big, big shout when you think how amazing Tom Lang's been, Brad Spencer's been, Kyle Morrison, Aggie Mann, Ross McKeever. The list is long. However, Finn, I know I said this last week, I think he must be one of the first names on the team sheet just now. He's undroppable. So not surprised that the fans have given him it. In terms of John McGlynn, obviously that's the league sponsor that gives the award there. What was amazing though, and you just said it, is like obviously again he got the team, the full backroom staff getting involved. Did you notice Tony Begg?
Yes,
in that picture as well, who we had on a couple of weeks back. And as we should have done at the time, we probably should have had a conversation with him about his involvement in the backroom, because he has been getting involved since the start of the season. I think with one thing or another, with an illness within the backroom staff, Tony's been in the dugout. He's been getting really involved with the first team. And yeah, my bad that we didn't give him some questions on that 2 weeks ago.
We'll get him back on at another point. We can ask him all about being involved next. I'm fascinated by all that sort of stuff. Dundee United, obviously, we're playing them in the Trust Trophy this Friday. The game is on the TV, but if you want to get along to it, happen 7:40 kickoff, which is a very random kickoff time.
Like, what is 7:40 all about? Like, why seven? Is it?
I know, why 7:45 or something? I don't know, but it's 7:40. I'll be because they've got view from the terrace on after or something. I'll be for TV reasons or something like that. I guarantee that's what it is. But 7:40 at the on Friday, adult £15, concession £10, all very reasonable prices. And as we know, under 12s are free with an accompanying adults, thanks to Your Equipment Solutions. Fortress Brockville is coming along. We talked last week about how we had had a meeting with the club. Now we're getting to we're getting to the business end of it now. So we'll be looking actually probably on next week's show. We'll farm out, get some of your help in writing the questions for us as we get on stage. So have a think over the next week about questions you would like to ask Crawford. If you can't make the event, we will ask the questions for you. So if you have a think about what questions you would ask Crawford, Kevin, Tiger McLaughlin. I mean, especially Tiger. Tiger was before my time. So I'm really interested in some of the older bands that maybe listen to this podcast. Give you your questions for Tiger, because I didn't have the privilege of watching the man in action, so it'd be great to get your questions for Tiger. But have a think, and we'll ask for put out an appeal on our social media at some point to get your questions if you can't make the event, and then we can let you know how it was done tonight. But it should be cracking. Like I say, it's casual. It's going to be a really nice casual night as well. We've talked about how we're going to be like Graham Norton, and then Ross is convinced to bring along the Botville Gate as well. Ross,
yeah, I can't quite remember how that conversation started yesterday, but it must have been after the game when we'd had a few beers. But yeah, we've managed to talk the club into bringing the Botville Gate along, so that'll be at the front of the stage. But more importantly, the gate will be there for everybody who's going. The gate will be there to get some, hopefully some amazing pictures on the night. With some of the legends, if they're happy to do so. But if not, even just as groups of pals and individuals who might want to get a picture taken beside the Brockville Gate. Because that's not something that's always doable, is it? Because you don't always get into the pitch. So that's a really nice addition that the club have agreed to do that. So that'll be kind of cool.
And of course, get your stories. Now, I've been thinking about this. We're going to do it like Graham Norton, the visit to the big blue chair, right? And Davy Nicholls will decide whether you get fucked off the stage or you get, your story's good enough to get a captain's armband, which obviously everybody wants as well. We were getting asked about that yesterday. But I think, should we open it up? Not just Brockville stories, but I almost want to hear just a really good story. I was watching Graham Norton and I'm just like, I just want to hear just a brilliant story.
I take it has to be Falkirk related.
We'll just make it anything related. As long as it's a good story, it's a good story, I'm all in for it. You know what I mean?
Well, we might even have a couple of contenders with some of the Falkirk on tour.
We'll get into that in a minute, absolutely. But yeah, get involved 24th of November at the Inshira. All the details on the description below, or you can head to the Falkirk website, get your tickets from there, 2-course meal. And like I say, we'll have a bit of a laugh on the night. Me and Ross will be hosting, and we've still to put together the script, so we'll get that done in the next week or so, because it's coming really quickly upon us. Jim got in touch with the show, and thanks, Jim, for getting in touch with the show last week. We asked people, why, if you're not in the FSS, why aren't you? And Jim was kind enough to give his opinions. He'd actually been back in touch, just saying, because you know, a lot of people online, you know, the typical Twitter, a lot of people are quite critical of Jim online. So he's seen some of his responses. And he actually has been in touch. He says, I actually agree with Ross regarding the club not being a typical business, but I was talking from the perspective of those running it who are legally obligated to run it as a business. The hard fact is that if we end up spending more than we bring in, then it doesn't matter what the perception is if we run out of money, nor does it matter how well we're doing. The instance would have happened last year too if it not for the cup run and the FSS money, both of which I presume were unknowns when setting the budget at the start of the season. That point with regards to where would we be without that wasn't actually discussed. It's a fair point. Also, despite having gained over 600,000 from that, we still required soft loans to get through the season. And by the post-AGM statement, it looks like we're going to burn through any surplus cash reserves despite projecting income over 2 million. I just hope things work out well, but I certainly have my concerns regarding our finances, as I know others do too. Anyway, enough said, hoping for a good match today and another 3 points, and we certainly delivered on that, Jim. So, I mean, like I've said, everyone is entitled to their opinion on this show. It's an open forum. People like Jim don't agree with the FSS. And then the other side, obviously the FSS, actually got in touch with us off the back of Jim's letter. Ross, you've got the statement there, haven't you?
Yeah, I do. So, just as you said, so obviously, as we said last week, we are an open forum. Whether it's somebody coming on as a guest pundit or whether they get in touch through messaging or emailing or whatever the case may be. But yeah, FSS got in touch to say, listen, so the Falkirk Sports Society Committee would like to thank Ross and John at Falkirk DAF for asking the important question of why some supporters have not yet joined the FSS. So we've been considering how to ask the very same question and would encourage all fans who have not joined to follow Jim's lead in taking the time and trouble to draft an honest and heartfelt response. Jim's letter was important as it gives an insight to the areas where we may be able to improve upon. We realise that there will be continuing challenges as we collectively look to rebuild the club under the fan ownership model. We would like to build a wider picture on the concerns of those Bairns who have not yet joined the FSS and would ask all fans to reach out to us at admin@falkirksupporters.co.uk over email and give us feedback or just express your thoughts. It is then, with a broader understanding of the issues, we would hope to be able to alleviate any concerns and keep us all pulling together in one direction.
So there you go. Listen, if you do, please let the guys know at the FSS, because they'll be able to hopefully deal with your concerns. I absolutely understand, you know, I've said in this podcast many times, I'm not 100% bought into, I'm an FSS member, but I'm not 100% bought into fan ownership. I know, Ross, you're all on board with it. But, I mean, that's what we're saying. It's everyone's opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. So it'd be really interesting to see, if you're not a member of the FSS, if you don't have, you know, you don't believe in fan ownership. I saw actually Keith Lasley had put out a tweet looking for views on fan ownership as well, which would be really interesting. I think he's doing some sort of masters on it.
He's at St Mirren.
St Mirren, yeah, he's the CEO at St Mirren.
So he's the CEO, right? I didn't realise that, because obviously they are. We are hoped to be as a club in terms of, like, obviously the Premier League, but they're doing so as a fan-owned club as well. So that's really interesting. I didn't realise that was where he was. So that's interesting.
Yeah, so get in touch with the guys at the FSS. That's a really well-drafted response to Jim. But drop them a line. If you aren't a member of the FSS, let them know why you aren't, and hopefully they can, you know, alleviate your concerns. admin@falkirksupporters.co.uk is where you want to go if you want to talk to them. Right, talking of the FSS, this is why you need to be a member. And I tell you what, the numbers have flown up. Obviously, the club, you know, we saw the club guys have joined in. We're at 848 now. I think the last time we did this, we were just past the 700.
I think it was maybe 725 or something like that.
So that's amazing. It's shot up. I mean, there's been a real push on it, and a lot of people have signed up over the last kind of couple of months. So that's brilliant news.
John, as we've said before, and you and I have been quite consistent with this, it's amazing how many people have joined. We obviously know there's a percentage out there that haven't yet or haven't. And as we continue to say, every pound that goes into the club, whether you're a member or not a member, is all money that the club needs. So whether you buy a shirt, a scarf, hospitality, a match ticket, or 1876 Club, FSS, it's all money into the club. But as you said just a minute ago, the fact that people at the FSS have been really open to dialogue, as in, listen, if you maybe don't do it just now, tell us what we could do or tell us what things you'd like to see so that we can try and increase that 848 to how good would it be if you got 1,000 people as a next sort of target? That would just be fantastic, wouldn't it?
That would be great. Well, so let's try 1,000 by the new year. And that's probably a bit much for asking this time of the year, but 1,000 certainly by, you know, halfway through the season or after the winter break. Let's try and see if we can get.
Tell you one thing though, John, if they had the same uplift that they've had in the last sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks that they've just had, then they could well hit 1,000 by New Year, which would just be outstanding. Because obviously, as the thing the club came out and said as well, didn't they, or was it the FSS, that every new member, every bit of new money that goes in is going towards the January budget. So that not only helps bring a new player in, but it helps keep the ones that we want to keep.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's going to be a question we have to start asking soon if we keep going what we're doing. But let's do the draw then. And now, obviously, some of the club, if Brad Spencer's name comes out or Finn Yeats or any of these players that have signed up, we're going to have to give them the prize here as well. So, so what? Let's do the draw. Let's switch over to our rant. Like the website obviously says no girls on it this week. See. There you go, nice and quick. So we've got 848 being put into the generator. What is the first prize, Ross?
So we've got four prizes this month, John. So the first prize is a boardroom experience as donated by the directors at Falkirk Football Club, which is, as always, an amazing gesture too. Second prize is one of the new heritage shirts.
Beltart.
Which I know sold out online, so this could be a way for somebody to get that in a size that they need. Third prize is a behind the wall voucher. So
thanks, Brian.
Out to Brian and the guys there as well. And there's a fourth prize as well. So well-known Bairns fan, Leah Trevis. She has her own makeup artistry company. She's donated a makeup artistry voucher.
Oh, it's a good Christmas present for the wife, isn't it?
I was thinking, well, or indeed anybody who fancies getting a treat or a makeover. Whatever the case may be. So
I fancy a makeover myself.
Would you shave the beard or?
Maybe. Right, okay, let's start off with the makeup voucher. Thanks to Leah Trevis for donating that. And let's go for that first of all. And the number is 257.
Okay, okay. So 257 is Adam Petty. Well done, Adam.
There you go. Right, next one out. Let's go for the behind the wall voucher, and it is number 588.
588 is Heather Brown.
Well done, Heather. Right, okay. Next number coming out is this for the heritage top. Amazing, one of the best tops we've had in such a long time, and it is number 42.
42. Cameron MacArthur. Well done, Cameron.
Well done, Cammy. Well done. And finally, this is for the boardroom experience at the stadium on a match day of your choice. And here we go. It is number 71.
71 is Mr. Andrew Taylor. Congratulations.
Well done, Andy Taylor. Spot on. Fantastic. So there you go. That is your FSS draw for this month. If you want to be in it next week, all you have to do is very simple. Just join the FSS. What would we do? See if our name came out of the draw, Ross. Would we have to put it back in or would we keep the prize?
No, I think I'd probably feel bad and just hand it back in.
I'd be taking it.
Would you keep it, would you?
Aye. Of course, Jesus. Right, we've also got our competition. We reached 18764 as we said last week, and we said we'd, from all our Twitter followers, we'd draw some names out. And what was the prize for that, Ross?
We had three prizes, John, which means three lucky followers. So we had Slap and the Bass Prince had donated Brockville Prince. And an A4 and A5 size. So we've decided to split those up. So there's two winners there. And we also have a signed captain's armband up for grabs as well. So the only way an adult could win one of these this year is, via the draw that we're about to do, or if they come along to the Fortress Brockville night and they give us a belter of a story and Davey doesn't decide to chuck you off the stage. So... So it wasn't quite as easy with Twitter in terms of the number of followers. So we did have to do this earlier. It wasn't something we could. It was random though. We literally just scrolled and scrolled. and picked three random followers. And we do have three winners. So the A4 Brockville prints were won by Twitter handle at TaylorJr1. The A5 Brockville print was won by an at Paul McTavish. And the Captain's Armband was won by at Jason Cherry 98. So massive congratulations to all three. And I'll drop the winners an email, a DM on Twitter, and we'll arrange for collection of the prizes.
Yeah, great. It's great stuff. Move on. We asked last week, we asked for your tour stories. We got into asking about we've had some crackers and absolute belters. So thank you very much for all your tour stories. Let's kick things off with John Mitchell, who says, always remember the jukebox in a social club over when we went to play Sligo Rovers. Walked in, the first four songs were the Soldier's Song twice and Is the Way to Amarillo twice. Amazing, what a contrast those two songs are.
You can imagine why the Amarillo was getting played, because we were there, but the other ones, yeah, it was just random. I'm sure that was just random. We've also had a story come in, and we did agree that the identity would be hidden. So we're not going to share the name of the fan who sent this in, but it is a belter of a story. So the best tour, I'll start as it was sent in. So the best tour story was on the return from Český Budějovice pre-season trip. Myself and my cousin flew to Prague and got the train down. We went to the game, had a great day and night down there, but the real fun was on the way home. We got the train back to Prague and a few hours to kill till a late night flight home. So what to do? Time to sample a few more Czech beers. So we stopped off for one or two, which then led to a few more. And after a while, we decided we might go see some dancing girls, even though it was only early afternoon. So we decided to go for a walk to locate some. After wandering for a bit, we turned down the side alley and see a neon sign, which looked likely. So they approached. We then see a guy beckoning us in like a madman, so why not? We went down the stairs and the place was dead, the music was on, and there was a couple of girls dancing and only one other group of guys milling about in the far corner. As we adjusted to our surroundings and pondered our next move, one of that group shouts over, "What are you guys doing here?" At this point, we realise it's the full Falkirk first team squad, including Mr. Russell Latterby. So my cousin replies, "I could ask you guys the same thing." Obviously, having spotted the badges on their tops, they shouted us over, so we joined them. The next thing, Russell is crashing my cousin's fags as he'd ran out and asking who we were and what we did. He was clearly worried as he kept saying, "No photos, guys, and no, you aren't journalists, are you?" So anyway, we reassured him and got a drink. The next thing we know, Russell invites us into a private booth with him and a few of the other boys for a private that was laid on. Two girls dancing on the table in front of us, and he tries to steal their underwear, but he got caught. This is typical Russell. We're not going to have
this is an amazing story.
My only memory of that moment is instead of watching the two girls, I'm nudging my cousin and saying, "This is Russell Latterby." We shortly left and bid our farewells to catch our flight and never saw them again. Gutted we never got a picture to take home with us as proof of that afternoon. My cousin still says to this day, "Wee Russell owes me a packet of Marlboro."
Amazing, absolutely amazing story. I've got one as well here from the one, the only Mr. Stephen Beveridge. He has got in touch, says, "Me and my cousin Brian, lifelong fan, went to the Irish trip the season after our 97 loss to Kilmarnock. Whitey was scared of flying, so he had to get the train from Falkirk to Holyhead. Me being a 26-year-old stud, got lucky in the toilet before he even hit Preston. What? Caught the half-mile high club." I'm not having that. Like, sex in a train toilet is a bad, but like the stink that comes up there. But well done, Stevie.
It must have been moving for him, though.
Very good. Got the boat to Dublin, checked in, and went on the lash. We played Drogheda United, I remember, one night. We had to get the train up to me and Whitey and those two girls we accidentally bumped into on the purpose. Haha. Game wasn't the best, but I somehow managed to lace a shot into the top corner against a left back whose name escapes me. I can't even remember who that would be. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
At half time, realizing there wasn't a train back to Dublin after the game, I told everyone not to panic. We waited after the game until the players came out. I went right to Alex Totten when he came out and asked if it was okay to travel back in the bus to Dublin, and he couldn't have been any more welcoming. So there I was in the back of the bus playing cards with Kevin James, Scott Crabb, and Davey Moss on the way back. Went back to the hotel near the airport, ended up drinking with Mowgli and Marino Keith. Mowgli was unreal, what a lad, and Marino Keith was different class too. Could go into a lot and mean a lot over that trip, but I'll leave it at that. But I don't even know where to start with Vaduz. Although, we'll tell you a cracking bit going through the Swiss Alps and the whole bus singing It's Not a Patch on the Ockles, and that will live for me forever. Love Falkirk Tay. So, brilliant for Steve. That's the kind of story that we're needing, and the one before it as well is for the Fortress Brockville. Like, this is what we're looking. The bar's been set by those two stories. Listen, we've got more of your on-tour stories, and we'll maybe do them next week just to inspire you on the run-up to the Fortress Brockville night. So, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Thanks very much, first of all, to Stevie and Anonymous as well, John Mitchell as well, for those stories. Keep the on-tour stories coming in. We'll get a couple more on the show next week. And thanks for everyone who's got in touch. We'll get your stories on next week. Right, on to the game then, is it? Edinburgh City came to Grangemouth, as he put on their Twitter, and went back to the city with nout, which was great. But let's get on our guest pundit this week. It's a man who actually joined us for a few Sherbets last night. It's Mr. Craig Rodding.
Guys.
How you doing?
You all right?
I'm all right. How are you? How are you feeling, Craig?
A wee bit rough, put it that way.
Did you just say you're off it?
That's me. Yeah, till next week, that's me, off it.
Till next week. Well, certainly we went up to the Wheat Sheaf. We were talking about hospitality. We went up to the Wheat Sheaf after. Brilliant night up there. We had a good few drinks in the pub. A lot of banter as well. So, I think it was about a point when Peter said, "I'm going down the road," and offered me after. I was like, I'm going now. But I think you stayed on, Craig, didn't you?
We ended up in the railway.
Did you? Oh, no.
I thought you were going to say the Manicky.
No, Christ, no. Too old for that, no.
XOXO, mate. That's where it's at, is it, though?
No.
I think we're 25 years too old for XO.
I think so. Wheat Sheaf's our kind of level now, isn't it? But I have to say, the Wheat Sheaf's such a great pub. I don't think we talk about how good a pub. I love it. Bar staff are brilliant in there. Big Jed, who runs the bar there.
There's a famous barman, as we now know.
There's a famous barman. Yeah. Actually, a famous barman. In the fact that, I don't know if it should be out. I don't think, should we out who the famous the barman is? Well, let's just leave it the clue that we put out yesterday, that a famous Scottish international son works in the Wheat Sheaf, but won't give out the details. But there you go. You can go and do your own investigating on that, or try and work it out for yourself. But yeah, no, it's a cracking pub. And it was, celebratory pints after Falkirk 1-2-1. Spencer and Marv. Before we get into the game, we've got to ask Craig the usual questions, haven't you? Right, Craig, first of all, first Falkirk game, and second of all, who's your favourite Falkirk player out with the Holy Trinity?
To be honest, I can't really pinpoint my first ever game. The one that sticks in my memory is when we beat Raith Rovers 7-2 Peter Heatherson, and I think Sammy got a couple of goals as well. That was my first game that sticks in my memory.
Fantastic. Good start. But,
yeah, then probably too many after that to go through. Favourite ever player? I know, for me, he's a quite pal with that as well, but McGivern, just for me, but at that age when I first started, I thought he was awesome. Yeah. And then obviously you've got the Stainrod and the Latapay and stuff, but I'll say McGivern for me was one of the standouts, him and Big Batty as well, I suppose.
Well, obviously Big Crawford's going to be at the Fortress Brockville night, so you'll need to get your questions in for him, Craig.
That was my sister's favourite player as well, so.
Ah, there you go. So, let's get into the match. 2-1 to Falkirk. Aidan Nesbitt, Ross McKeever with the goals. Starting 11 slightly mixed up after the Queen's Park, as I thought it might be. Agumon dropped out. Oliver was out injured as well. I think he was actually named, but I don't know if he's. I saw his name down, but I don't know if he's been injured in the warm up or not. I kind of missed that, but Oliver was out injured. Mm-hmm. Spencer Morrison came back into the starting 11. 11 as well, with Nesbitt coming in as well. Bisland dropped to the bench as well as, I'm trying to think who else dropped to the bench. It was, because
Ross as well. I thought
Ross as well, yeah. So that was your starting 11. What changes needed Ross just for after Queen of the South?
I think he probably did it for that reason, to try and get a little bit of a reaction out of some of the players. Obviously Agyeman didn't have a massively great game against Queen, so you can understand why he was. I don't know if I would have dropped Ethan Ross. I thought we missed him yesterday. So I don't know if I would have agreed with that change. Obviously Nesbitt came in and he's made his 100th appearance, which is always a good milestone. He's got a goal, two that I know we'll talk about. But other than that, he probably wanted Brad Spencer and Callum Morrison back in the starting 11 as well. I don't know if either of them looked match, like 100% match fit, but I can understand them wanting to bring them back in.
Yeah. Did that change you and made Craig, or you just thought you was...
For me, I would have kept Ross in the team, because I think he gives us that wee something different going forward. I like him, to be fair. Agyeman, I gave you Ross, he did deserve maybe a wee time on the bench. But yeah, it's a tough one though. Like, you bring Morrison back in and hoping that he's back to where he was before he went out injured, but obviously he's a wee bit off it yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's just a couple of weeks and I think he'll be back on it, to be fair.
Yeah, I kind of agree that I think Agyeman's performance against Edinburgh the last time, but he absolutely bossed them, and you could see obviously the difference he made when he came off the bench yesterday. I would have been tempted to left Agyeman and maybe brought Morrison off the bench just so he can start finding his feet again and getting into it. But the players, like you say, it's a squad game, and I think John McGuinn said that in his interview. And you know, we've got good players on the bench now, you know, to bring in and change things about, and especially after, you know, dropping points at Queen of South. I guess he's got to change it. And we all know Aiden's one of his favourites, you know, so you know, if Aiden's fit and again, he'll fit him into the team. But yeah, Ethan Ross, I don't think he's done much wrong to get dropped, but
I'm going to say so.
Nah, got it. Obviously, before the match, there was a remembrance service. Not great work from the club. They'll have to say, right, I'm going to say it. What about that pipe on?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
I was like that way, you're just trying to be serious and all that sort of stuff. Poor guy. Like, I think it was maybe the pipes going from, you know, going from the warmth inside to the out. I'm going to put that down, right? Because sometimes that affects the pipes, right? But I was sitting there, like, every bump note, I was just like, try to hold my laugh in.
You know, that is exactly what I would have expected Mr. Rodden to say. No for you. That's poor, John.
because we were sitting, there was a couple of young guys in front of us, and they were like looking at each other and as if to say, what the hell is this? But you feel sorry for the guy. He's been put out there to do that, and he just one wee mistake and he picks it up on you.
I know, the pressure was on.
At least the bugler was spot on, weren't they?
Yeah.
No issues there. Whereas I remember a few years back, I think.
Yeah, the bugler, the last thing was really.
Yeah, she struggled. But you don't want to. You don't want to have a go, because they're mostly young people doing it from I think it's, is it Grangemouth British Legion or something they're part of or something? But it looks amazing. So going back to the first point, you're right, the club always do remembrance service really, really well. The only thing for us is we got kicked out the hospitality lounge probably about 50 minutes early.
I know!
That's the only annoyance, but otherwise they did really well with it.
I know, well done to everyone involved with that. I'm only kicking about the paper, but I was that way. I was just like laughing. Just like, oh no, is that what you felt for the person there? You're just like, oh god. So we get the game off after that. Started well, you know, out the traps pretty quickly. Couple of chances early on, a good save from Spencer, like he hit that, and the goalie had a great save for his feet, had that header from McKeever which was just tipped over. I mean, that you think, oh, it was at the keeper, but you know, Ross could have maybe done a wee bit better with that. And then a moment of absolute mentalness as Hogarth tried to pass it out, it deflects off Innocent Murray, and in the back of the net you're just going, what?
Yeah, I know. I felt for him. Did anybody see what the BBC he had put out saying it was a strike from the edge of the box by Ennis Murray. You couldn't call that a strike.
It hit off him into the net.
Off him, didn't it?
No.
I did feel for Hogarth for that, because he's not... Every game he's played this year, he's been, like, safe. He's not a lot to do. It's probably not done his confidence that much. And, well, I know we'll talk about Dundee United in 10, 15 minutes or so, but, like, Sam Long's probably going to come back in for the cup game anyway. And you just wonder if Sam Long then may keep the starting position, if assuming all goes well on Friday night.
I mean, the thing is, Craig, and this is what I've said, they're two young goalkeepers, Sam Long and Hogarth, right? They are going to make mistakes. That's inevitable. Yeah. But, you know, they have, I mean, as Ross said as well, they don't really have much testing during the game. I mean, there's been a couple of great saves. I mean, Hogarth made a great save last week. But the chances, you know, I mean, on the other end, Boy McNeil had a great game for Edinburgh and then the sticks for them. But
is that the wee boy who's been, like, about loads of clubs?
Is that on loan for Hibs, though? Is that... I'm sure somebody said that
at the game. Oh, is it? Oh, right. Yeah. So it's not,
I might be wrong, but I'm sure that, because he had a good game, to be fair.
He did.
Kept him in it for a good chunk of the game.
Young goalkeepers. We saw Sam, you know, at Partick Thistle, he made a terrible mistake. He's made a couple of mistakes as well, and you're going to get that. But, yeah, you know, when they're called upon, they've generally been pretty good, you know, and generally been, you know, some bad... the defence in front of them was just keeping everything away from them, you know? So it's just a moment of madness, switch off. So you felt sorry for Nicky. But yeah, it was just like, I have to say though, when the ball hit the net, I'm like, that's no ball, that's fine. Because this team's a different animal. I turned to Joe, who was sitting beside, and just sort of said, nah, no body, listen, don't worry about it. These things happen, we're going to win. And I was 100% confident that the win was going to come. But, you know, we had the chances again just right after the goals in. There's that chance from Miller where he goes. In fact, was that 1-1, and then Miller had that chance. But, you know, we did have chances, and we just put the four. But Morrison involved, you know, coming off the back end at the start line, involved in the goal. Great ball through, and what a great finish from Aidan Nesbitt, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, lovely wee chip over the keeper. Did it actually, I had to watch the highlights back because, as we know, I was coming back from the toilet when we scored. And I just, missed the goal. So I had to watch it back, but it kind of looks like the defenders passed it back.
Really? I thought it was a Morrison through ball.
Morrison was there and Morrison was pressuring the defender or the midfielder, but I think it might have been an Edinburgh player who played the ball forward. Because the boy who did it, like, he just put his hands on his head as soon as he...
I thought it was Morrison that had played it through to him, but there you go. We're taking the assist away from Morrison and giving it to the Edinburgh player. But listen, Aidan Nesbitt had, you know, just that little chip finish. When you go, they go in like that, it's just a beautiful, it was a brilliant finish, Craig.
Yeah, like, he's got that in his game, though. He just, for me, I mean, I like Nesbitt. You look at last year, I think he was a top
assists
and stuff like that. So he has got it in his locker. He just needs to show it more often for me in the games.
Yeah.
Sometimes he just gets pushed off the ball far too easily for me.
Mm.
That's my, not frustration, but he's a different player to Ethan Ross and Agyeman, because, like, well, we know what Agyeman does. He just gets the head down and shoves people off the ball and runs towards goal. That's not really Nesbitt's game. And I think that's maybe why he gets a little bit of a tougher time for the fans than maybe Ethan Ross or Agyeman. But yeah, the finish was absolutely sublime. Is that his second goal of the season? I remember one against...
Yeah, he scored down in the south stand, didn't he? As well, yeah. It was one of those. But yeah, I loved how the fact that Ross, just before he scored as well, tweeted out on the Falkirk Daft account, get Agyeman or Ross on for Nesbitt at halftime. Brilliant commentators are there, Ross.
It shows that I know nothing, if I'm being honest, John. So take that as you will.
There you go. So we get in at halftime 1-1. And I honestly, the confidence of just, like, I went in going, we're still going to beat them, but they made hard work of it. I have to say, in that second half, they did make hard work of it. But, you know, we had the chances. Edinburgh could have had goals of their own. We'll talk about their disallowed goal in a minute. But, you know, we had big chances there in the second half. Again, we didn't get a lot of quality balls into McKeever, but that goal, when it came, was a great team goal. You look at the passing beforehand, ball goes out to McCann. Brilliant cross from McCann and great finish from Big Ross.
Phenomenal. Craig, you would have had a better view of it than us.
I was right behind it. So, yeah. Really set, I was right behind the goals. It was superb for him. He's made such a difference for us up front.
Yeah. 100%.
His presence and he holds up the ball.
His link play is phenomenal. His link up play is absolutely phenomenal, Ross McKeever.
No, there was a few guys around about us that I'm going to see them like get on his back, but they're a bit short with him, if you know what I mean. Yeah. They're kind of. Whereas other guys will get away with some more stuff, but he seems to be getting a few shouts for where we are at the moment. But no, I keep him, Tam Lang, and Spencer are the spine of your team. If we lose one of them, we cope to Spencer being a couple of games, but for any length of time we lose them, I think we'll struggle.
I think,
Tam Lang at the back.
I think absolutely. I think if Tam Lang drops out of that side, you mean you're going to have to move Hendel back in at centre half, or Brad, God knows what's Brad Mackay's. I don't know what's happened with Brad Mackay, but we saw near the tail end of last season, Mackay and Donaldson together were a bit of a bomb scare. You know, they started, I mean, Mackay had a really purple patch at one point last season where he was playing really, really well. And then near the end of the season, the two of them were murder. Tam Lang, I fully agree with you, Craig. I think you miss him. That would be a big worry for us. That's the biggest worry out of the whole team. That's the one player I don't think we've got a replacement off the bench for.
I mean, don't know. I mean, I think Mackay could probably play there, but it's not really the same level.
Okay, well, that challenge that Mackay made near the end of the match, you know, you forget Sean Mackey's got that in his locker. But yeah, you're right, actually. Sean Mackay, I forgot about Sean. He could go in at centre-half as well. And you probably, that might be your preference because you don't want to lose that presence, physical presence in the midfield from Hendel. So, aye. But yeah, Alfie, we talked about, came off the bench as well. He made an impact when he came on, did he not?
He did. He was what we hope of him. He just causing a nuisance himself. As we've said before, you get an unpredictability with Alfie, which is good, and it's also bad at times as well. But he did far more good than bad yesterday. He had one chance that I remember. He had a really nice time.
Keeper. Yeah. That would have been a great goal. Another great team goal if that had went on, because it was just well worked as well. And you just thought, oh, if it just went in there. But he was probably on his wrong foot, and he just wanted to hammer it past the goalkeeper. But you know, and like I said, I thought the Edinburgh goalkeeper was really good yesterday. But yeah, then we led to the goal, which was chopped off. I'll tell you what, see, if I was in the opposite side, I would be livid that goal was topped off. Did it actually deflect off of Fontaine and then? I couldn't work out.
Because it looked like it did.
It looked like it took it. It must have done, because he was offside, right? When you see it back in the replay, he was offside. Because I thought he'd just given it, he was offside and obstructing the goalie's view. Now, if that's the case and that's been chopped off for that, we've got away with one. But if it has actually deflected off, obviously it should be, you know, ruled off. But I don't, the way it was hard to see in the replay, but it did look like it taking some sort of deflection. But you would be raging, wouldn't you?
To be fair, how many times was it last season or the season before we ever got one penalty hardly?
Aye.
So it's decisions like that that really winds you up as a supporter. But then on the other hand, it's went for us, so
tough. I know.
Fair play to the Lino for flagging it, because he could quite have easily just let the ref make the decision. I did shite myself though when the ref went over, because I thought
I said to Stevie, I was like, oh, here we go, he's going to overcome this. Because as soon as you think the ref goes across, you think, oh, that's it. The linesman.
But I mean, they have a relatively lengthy conversation about it, and I think you could see the linesman just saying, this is what happened. The ref went, fine. I'm on board for that. So we got away with that one. But again, I honestly, I think if they'd scored, we would have went up the park and scored. I honestly have got so much confidence in this team at the moment. And like Craig, you were saying, you know, you need that bit of luck as well. I mean, Dunfermline probably had a bit of that last season as well. You need that, as well as having that spine, that great team, you need to have a wee bit of that on your side. You need to have those last minute goals in your locker, you know, you need that fight. And I honestly, I think this team, and we've said it so many times in the podcast, it's a different animal. The only problem is, down in South Lanarkshire, there's an R team doing the exact same as we're doing, you know? Sitting at 33 points for, you know, and 3 points clear at Hamilton. In most other seasons, again, you're probably, we were playing 16 games unbeaten now. You think we should be miles ahead. We should be miles ahead. But Hamilton, in fairness, you know, there's them still in Albion yesterday beating them 5-0. They're doing it too, man. And it's worrying. It's worrying me.
It's shaping up to be a huge game against them at New Douglas Park in the middle of December. It's massive. Is that one's not been moved for TV or anything yet, has it? I hope it stays at 3 o'clock on the Saturday, though. I'd rather it was then. But I genuinely think that's such a huge game already. And we know we'll take a huge crowd through there for that game as well.
I know, we've got two big tests ahead of that, though. Montrose away, specifically, I think it's a real banana skin. And then Cove at home, we all know Mr. Hartley will not want to be getting points taken off him.
They're on a good run just now as well, aren't they?
Yeah. And you know Mr. Burrow will certainly be looking to score as well, so... We'll see. But listen, that was... We got up out there, like you say, 3 points. I was never in doubt, absolutely never in doubt. I mean, there was people predicting 5-6-0, but listen, I've said it all season, win your home games, get something, and now it's turned in that we need to get wins away from home. So I was like, as long as you can get away a point or get something from your away games, you'll win the league. But I, like I say, going back to Hamilton, we're going to have to, it looks like every single game, if we want to put this league to bed as early as we possibly can. So, yeah, let's see how it goes. But let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, it was a really tough game today, but got there in the end. Another 3 points, 16 unbeaten. Maybe not the best performance, but still pleased.
Yeah, we made it difficult for ourselves by conceding an early goal, an error. These things happen, unfortunately. It certainly gave Edinburgh a boost, a massive boost, something to fight for, something to, you know, to hold on to. And it sometimes can unsettle you a little bit by losing that early goal and that type of goal. But it was up to the whole team to try and make up for that, because, you know, like Nicky and Sam, they've made saves during the season, and maybe that saved us on that particular day, and it was up to the whole team then to help us get the result, and, you know, on behalf of Nicky, you know, which is, I'm glad that's happened, as I say, because the goals have made saves throughout the season, and maybe that's got us points in the past, and at least we dug Nicky out today as well. So, yeah, I thought we were always a better team, you know, yeah, maybe they were. At times we turned the ball over a bit too many times, and it became a little bit frustrating, that's it, you know. We seemed like there was times where we didn't have anyone on the park who were capable of passing the ball, and of course we're giving anybody even more encouragement because we know. But if you look at all the stats, and, you know, I think we had something like 16, 17 shots, 7 on target to their 1. You know, even the stats back up, you know, in the first half, Nizzy and Brad Spencer went right through 1v1. I'm sure there was another glaring opportunity that we missed. Big Ross has got a header on target that maybe he should even score with, you know. I felt we should have been still coming in at half time, 2 or 3 up. But fair play to Edinburgh, you know, they did. They've improved a lot, they've made it really, really difficult for us. As they've shown, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago when they went to Hamilton and came away with a point, they've shown that they've picked up. They're working, you know, harder, and they're making things more difficult. By the, you know, since Michaels came in, probably last week would have been a disappointment for them when, you know, Montrose scored 5 against them. And sometimes that can put you in a false sense of security. So we didn't quite get to the standards, but Aidan Nesbitt took his goal remarkably well. Great finish, real good composure. And the second goal is our type of goal. You know, a great ball in. Calvin's got a great ball in and Ross has got in the front of the defender and it's a great header. So that's our type of goal. It's the way we play. We want our wingers to get down the line and get crosses in, and we want Ross to get, you know, across the front of defenders and get headers and score goals. And I'm delighted for him, he's done that. I thought there was opportunities for us to put more crosses in. We did put quite a number of crosses in. And, you know, we're asking to get more bodies in the box so we get more chances of scoring goals. And because we've not really killed them off, it gets a little bit nervy at the end. I just looked at the goal that they got disallowed, and I can see why it's disallowed. Fontaine's standing right in front. I think he's actually got a nick on it as well. So he's deflected it in and he's standing in an offside position, so it was offside. So, hard working, 3 points, very hard working. And, I'm sure for now at the end of the season, we'll need to be continuing to do exactly that, continue to work hard, and hopefully we can make it a little bit more comfortable than that. But I'm sure there'll be days where it'll be tough and we'll have to, keep going and keep going and keep going and keep playing the way that we play and get the results.
There we go. Hard working win sums it up, I think.
Yeah, I'll say so.
I mean, John always sums up we don't even have to do this podcast, we just have to play the John McGuinn interview and he just sums up the whole game for us anyway. But yeah, he did. I think it was a hard working win. That's a great way to describe it. Edinburgh have improved vastly since we last played them, that's for sure. Obviously they got the absolute pumping off Montrose last week, so everyone was predicting a big win for us. But sometimes, like John McGuinn says, you know, that kind of wakes you up a wee bit, getting a thumping. You know, you've seen it so many times when the next game match, they've went on and played really, really well. So, aye, anything to add to John?
The only thing I was going to say, because as you say, John, he nails it every time he gets an interview, but he obviously mentioned it was Calvin Miller who put the cross in.
I thought it was McCann.
It was McCann as well, but maybe, obviously, John will know, because he was probably watched it back about 18 times, but I don't even think, when I watched the highlights, I don't even think Sean Hildebrand actually said, oh, the cross came in by so-and-so. He just said it was a beautiful cross come over. So I thought it was McCann at the time, but obviously it must have been Calvin Miller. But he's right, it's a typical Falkirk goal this season. How many times now have we scored from a really good cross into the box? But Craig, sorry, going back to what you said earlier on, you would have been in a better position to see the second goal. Did he actually cut himself across the defender to get his head on it? Was that what happened?
It was basically kind of, he made a wee step as if to move away, then he came back in front of him. So brilliant. It was good. It was, like I say, a good finish.
Good. And that's Ross McKeever on 8 or 9 goals. My 30 goals is still achievable, I think, across all comps.
across all comps, in brackets.
Yeah, in brackets, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a great turn, because everyone, even when we spoke to Alwith, we were speaking to the guys at the What's the S podcast, and we sort of said, right, what's the lowdown McKeever? And they were like, you know, not a great loss, and not gutted to see him go. You know, they sort of said, you know, we looked at, I think every Falkirk player kind of looked at his record as a striker and went, what? We're getting this guy, he's always got... But I tell you what, and go back, so I think he's a really big asset, and I think he works, he's the kind of player that works in a John McGuinn team, if you know what I mean, because of the crosses, and, you know, that's what John McGuinn, you heard in his interview there, getting crosses in the box, keep going, you know, and we've seen it so many times with John McGuinn, it's like getting it wide, that's why Morrison, Agyeman, McCann, these boys from the wide areas are so important to the team, and having that focal point in Ross in the middle, it's how John McGuinn likes to set up a team, you know? And it's just a shame because, you know, Jordan Allen, who I think we all want to see getting more of a chance, you know? And just one of these days, I said it against Alice, even when we're gubbing them, change this, why not just give it a shot and change the system and go for a 4-4-2 with Big McKeever and Allen up front? I'm a stickler for a big man, wee man combination, you know what I mean? I'd love to see it happen. You know, they did it at Cove, I think, when we were struggling, and we obviously got the goal in the end. Jordan got the goal, but I want to see it happen. I really do, because I think it works so well. Because, like you say, Craig, his hold-up play is, you know, his link play is unbelievable.
No, I would say as well that teams know how to play against us now. That's why we're coming up against teams that are so well-organised and so... tactically set up properly for us. So why not, like, 10, 15 minutes to go, right, just stick it to them up front, 4-4-2 and go for it.
So, yeah.
I don't know. But he's done, you can't really knock him this season, to be fair, can you? So
It was certainly a criticism that he only had, you know, John McGuinn last season. And like you say, against the full-time better teams, you know, that they had to figure. I mean, like, we saw, like, Dunfermline had their card, like, last season. They knew exactly how to play against us. That, you know, after that first game where we went East End, then after that, every other game, they're like, right, we know what we're going to do here, and they figured them out. And we had that criticism in the podcast coming up against, same with Airdrie as well. Rhys McCabe, you know, did a really good job on him as well. But he's persisted with it. I think he's got the players now that, you know, I think that's the difference, is the players. He's got the players that can play the system that he wants to play, as opposed to last season when he maybe was missing, and Ross, you've talked about it, he was probably missing two or three kind of key players but you know, in Tam at the back, in Brad Spencer in midfield, and in Big Ross up front, he's got that spine that he needs to play that system, you know, because you see how many times Cole or Tom come out as a centre-half and carry the ball as well. We probably didn't have that in someone like Brad Mackay last season, you know what I mean? So, yeah, fair play to him. Fair play. Stuck with his system, and hopefully, it gets us across the line and wins the league title.
We've got the scariest front three in the league. Like, I know Hamilton have got the boy Ewan Henderson, and he's scoring a lot of goals. He's setting up a lot of goals. So he's one individual that's doing it. But our front three are a nuisance, and it shows. I just had a quick look at the top scoring chart for us, and so Ross McKeever is on now on 9. Across, and that's just league and the cup games. So that's not like I said in all comps and stuff. I'm sure he scored about 4 in pre-season, which I'm going to count, but I know they don't. but he's on 9. Callum Morrison's on 7, and you've got Alfie on 6, and that's no surprise, because these guys are dangerous. And as Craig said earlier on, you've got other options there. You've got Calvin Miller. You've got Ethan Ross. Nesbitt's on 3 goals, just as we did. I can't remember where his third one happened. I suppose it might have been one of the cup games. But Nesbitt's on 3. Tam Lang's on 3. Liam Henderson's got a goal. Jordan, we've mentioned, has got a goal. Big Cole's got a world day that he scored a few weeks ago. So there are goals about the team massively.
Yeah, absolutely. Austin, let's see what you guys had to say about the match. Elsa kicks us off. Hello, Elsa. We need to get Elsa back on the podcast for a bit of analysis. She's always brilliant. Elsa says, Lang or McKeever for play of the match for me. Didn't control the match for any period. Midfield not clicking and not much sticking up front, though McKeever won a lot of headers and flick-ons. Glad he got his goal. Credit to Edinburgh City, because they pressed us all over the pitch and forced mistakes. It's a win, though.
She's right on both counts. It is a win, and they definitely pressed us. That was one thing they did really well. Wee Tam says, worst performance of the season by far. Team needs a refresh, as they looked a yard off it all game. Lowell, Aguiman and Allen on from the start next week, please. However, we still managed the 3 points.
That's a big shout. Like I say, for next week, and we'll get into the Dundee United game. I think he will make changes for the Trust Trophy game, as we've seen in previous. Big Alfie will get back in. I think he might, you know, Spencer and use some of the bench. Maybe Lowell might get a stick, Jordan Allen. So we'll wait and see what happens. John says, didn't pass the ball well and missed Alfie's strength and unpredictability in the final third. Lang was immense. Some header for the winner, and fair play to the assistant for spotting their offside. Also, big challenge from Mackie at the end. Not pretty, but job done. Yeah, I've talked about Mackie challenge at the end. It was great. He loves a tackle. I love a good centre-half that loves a tackle. There we go.
Graham says, thank God for Tam Lang. Very disappointing performance, and fortunate to come away with a win. Need to be better on Friday or we are in for a doing. Great support once again from the Ultras too.
Yeah, Mr. Lev Chick, hello. Poor game, too choppy, not flowing enough, but a result. Nice.
Indeed, yeah. Another John says, Edinburgh have greatly improved and clear they had done their homework on us. Too many misplaced passes from us, but can't argue with the 3 points. As the season progresses, teams will see how to stifle our game, and we have to be flexible enough to get around that, just as we talked about a minute ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cammy says, poor performance all round, but winning the game is all that matters and still top of the league, so can't complain.
Craig said, I slated Nesbitt and McKeever throughout the game and they both scored, so I'll take the credit for the 3 points.
Thank you, Craig.
Yeah. How Daniel never got man of the match is beyond me.
I know why he didn't get man of the match, because they knew I was in hospitality. And I think you're all getting to know who my Falkirk Daft rated player is. But I think that, you know, restriction that I've got that he's handed me over from the police probably is why he didn't get man of the match.
No closer than 50 yards, that's the thing.
That's straining order. Paul, not sure many of them would have got past Marks. However, it's another hard fought 3 points, which could be crucial come the end of the season. Alfie back in from the start next week, please.
Indeed. Barry says, not the greatest of performances, but 3 points in the bag, which is the main thing. That's what league winners do. Big Tam Lang was different gravy and should have been man of the match. I'm on the
there
Burns.
You go. And Mark, it's the type of game that was made for Alfie. Desperately needs someone to run at them from midfield. Nesbitt was terrible, and his Cole doesn't excuse that. How he lasted the 90, I'll never know. And whoever voted him as man of the match must have been on the doubles with nine players more deserving than him.
Well, that's obviously not true, because no one was allowed a double in hospitality. So. which was a bone of ours, wasn't it? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Boney Unks 227. Miller is better as a 10 than Nesbitt. The end. And finally, 10 Navy bottles. Falkirk Dafty of the week. Hogarth or the speed bumps they've put into the retail park, or both.
I've not been up the retail parks since that's the speed bumps are gone. Are they bad?
Really bad, John. Craig, have you been?
I've not been yet, but a couple of the guys. They
must have
run about it as well.
I did see a tweet that said Falkirk's tallest structures, the Kelpies, 30 metres, the Falkirk Wheel, 35 metres, the Steeple, 43 metres, the retail park speed bumps, unknown. There we go. Aye, so need to check. I love how we've become a forum for speed bumps now, as well as Falkirk. Falkirk Daft rated player. Let's go for you first, Craig. Who are you picking as your man of the match?
Everybody's gonna really say that, eh? I mean, you would look at Tim Lang. I thought he was superb. But I would also say I thought McKeever did well. So probably one of them two, I would say.
Right, Ross.
I'm gonna go for it would have been one of the two, but I'm gonna go for McKeever. I thought he won every header that was going. He was obviously flicking headers on and then chasing them himself at points. So and the winner was just phenomenal. So I'm going to go Ross McKeever.
So does that mean I've got a cast and vote?
You probably do. Yes.
I'm going to go for Big Tam, of course. Of course, he was man of the match. Everybody else is saying it. He was man of the match. He was absolute, just a rock again. Just everything just gets battered away. Everyone gets battered off him. He's some boy, and he was certainly my man of the match. So, Falkirk Daft player of the week is Tam Lang. There we go. Falkirk Dafty. How it kick us off, Craig?
We talk at Hogarth, obviously. I like Sam Long. I think he's a good keeper as well. But yeah, you could look at from that one. I mean, in the past, that would have cost us a game. Luckily, the team we are now is completely different, so you've got to give it to him.
Ross, do you agree?
Yeah, although if it wasn't Hogarth, and it's going to sound controversial, but
maybe Nesbitt, you're going to say Nesbitt, aren't you?
I didn't think Nesbitt had a good game at all, and I know he scored, but I think for the error, and it could have been costly, but as John McGlynn said, he has saved us. Both keepers have saved us this year, so it feels wrong to give it to Hogarth, but I'll probably need to give it to
I think I'd have to give it to Nicky as well. It was just a silly mistake. Like I say, young goalkeeper, these things will happen. But yeah, it was just that sometimes it's just get up the park. And I think I saw Cole Donaldson going to him afterwards going, fucking just get up the park, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need to take those. But so I'm fairly sorry for Nicky, but yeah, unfortunately, he's going to have to be the Falkirk Dafty of the week.
John, notable mention though, we have to give to the Lino at the far side for his part in the win.
So yes, thank you very much, Lino. I don't know who was the Lino yesterday, but well done. That was a great decision. Well spotted. Lightning. Love it. Right, okay, well, that's it for this week, Falkirk Daft. Craig, thank you so much for being very hot over and coming on to do that. I think I'm going to have a wee hear the dog, wee glass of wine or something tonight just to take the edge off. I see you're drinking water, Ross.
Aye, no, there's nothing else but Warhammer tonight.
So struggling, all right. Brilliant, all right, boys, listen, thanks very much for that. And remember, if you want to be a guest pundit just like Craig has been today, it's dead easy. Drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook, or pop us an email to pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So, it's a wee break from league business, as our next opponent is the quarterfinal of the Trust Trophy. It's on the TV, it's Friday night, it's a 7:40 kickoff, very random. It is us against one of the other unbeaten teams in the league. It's Dundee United, who are going good guns under Jim Goodwin.
They are. Yeah, they're doing really well.
I mean, looking at, you know, they're a bit like us as well, because they've got Raith Rovers are hanging in there, by the way. They've got a game in hand, and they're 4 points off, but they've got a game in hand. So Raith Rovers are really hanging in there, and they certainly seem to be going really well this season under Ian Murray Raith. But Dundee United, like I say, they just... I didn't watch the game against Dunfermline on Friday night. It was on the telly, but I spoke to my mate who's a Dunfermline supporter, and he was saying, yeah, it's... They thought they were... Dunfermline felt a wee bit hard done by, but I think it's just Dundee United, it's their lead to lose, really, because they're flying.
Yeah. I think it probably will be, mate. As you said, the Raith, like Hamilton with us, they're sticking in there. There's not much points, and I think if looking at the table, if Raith win their game in hand, there's only a point in it. So, but no, listen, Dundee United are a really, really well organised team now. The starting 11 that they've put together is like us, as it picks itself. Whether they make some changes though, and I don't wanna put it the competition down, because you know I love personally, I love the Challenge Cup. However, I do think they will make changes to their starting 11 on Friday night. Their bench will probably get a run out. But then he will as well. You know, Lawal will likely start. Jordan Allen will likely start. Mackey will get a start at either left back or left centre half. I'm not sure which. Probably left back. Yeats, I'll need to stay at right back though, because Bisland.
Of course he'll be cup tied. Of course he will be. Forgot.
Yeah. He won't be allowed to play.
They've got some, looking down their squad, they've got some good players in there. Declan Gallagher, you know, Scotland International, do you know what I mean? Louis Moult, Kai Fodringham, obviously, he's flying this season with them. Obviously, we had him on loan at the club earlier in his career, but he seems to be flying. 7 goals for him for the season. And this boy, Kevin Holt, seems to be...
Did you see the celebration from his goal on Friday night, though?
No, I didn't, know.
He obviously scored, and he's a Falkirk fan, isn't he? So he ran right over to the Dunfermline Ultras.
Was Kai following you actually as a Falkirk supporter?
Yeah, he's from Larbert, apparently. Do you remember when we played them in the summer? I made a point of having a go, saying he was obviously on loan at Falkirk, and there wasn't any bad blood when he was here or left or anything like that. And when he scored against us in July, he made a point of kind of running over to the Ultras. And
Sibs had told him off, didn't he?
And Sibs had given him a row in the park. But as it turns out, a lot of his mates are in the Ultras. So that was why he went over. Because they'd obviously been bamming him up during maybe pre-game or during the game. And but yeah, he ran right over to the
Ultras. So he's done it. That's fair enough. That's brilliant. He's went out over to his mates and sort of said, "Ha ha, get up." But good to know he's a Falkirk supporter. And listen, if he's scored against Dunfermline and ran up to the Dunfermline supporters doing that, well done, Kai. Love that work. And obviously, you mentioned Sibs there as well. Sibs is there. Tony Watt. I mean, they've got. Even if they bring, you know, we gave them a good game at the stadium. It was just a silly mistake from Cam. Which led to the goal. We gave him a decent enough game. So I see Archie Mickison obviously getting the game as well, who, you know, had about 5 minutes for us before getting injured. So it's going to be a tough game. And it depends. I think I agree with you, Ross. I think he'll rest. I think he'll give some of the kind of fringe players more of a game. I think you'll see Ethan Ross coming in. I think you'll see Aguiman will probably start if he didn't play Lawal. I've said it before. You can't play Lawal and Aguiman in the same team. It's just the world will just blow up if that happens.
there's not enough defensive cover there. I think if you play both of them, and I would suggest Aguiman's probably going to start over Lowell if you were picking between the two of them. I do think Lowell will get minutes, though. And he's like, do you know, Ola has a bag of tricks. Where I think everybody agrees where his game lacks is his defensive
tracking back,
back and stuff like that. But in terms of going forward, there's a cracking player there. There really is.
Yeah, although love him. It's going to be a tough one. It really is going to be a tough one. But we're Falkirk. We can do this. What do you think the score's going to be, Ross?
You know, it's a tough one to call, John. I'm going to go with your mantra and just listen, any win will do, and I'll bite your hand off just now for a 1-0 win. I would be happy with that. Lovely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be potential. I think it might. Let's because in this show, we're never going to predict Falkirk getting beat, are we? We're always going to say it's a Falkirk win, but with that in mind, I think a draw, penalties and a penalty win. That's I'll stretch it to that. Drawing and then penalties.
And a penalty. If we could get through, because wait a minute, is this the quarters or is this the semi?
Quarters.
That's right, because the semi final draw has already been made. Yeah. So if we beat Dundee United, this is when we play the winner of either Arbroath or
Airdrie. Is it?
No, was it who's the was it TNS or something like that?
I don't know
if I'm just making all this up, but I remember
The semi final draw has been made. Let me just well researched here show this today. Semi final Trust Trophy draw. Let's have a look who we're going to face if we beat Dundee United. It will be for God's sake, I've hit the wrong website. Here we go. The draw for the final. Oh God, Trust Trophy semi-final draw. Oh God, I don't know, Ross. I don't know what's happening here, but it has been made, and we will play someone. hold on. I'm almost there. Right. TNS or Arbroath? No, you're right.
Was I right? Oh, then
you're right. So if we beat Dundee United, you've got a home game against TNS or Arbroath. There we go.
Good. Well, that's a good incentive because
fancy our chances against Arbroath. Certainly fancy our chances against Arbroath, and I don't know what TNS are like. So, but we'll just say we'll be good to them against them and all. So there we go. That's the predictions for the Dundee United game. Remember Friday 7:40 at Stadium. Hopefully, we see you there.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening to a very hungover episode. I'm going to have to go and get a glass of wine to smooth the edges off it, I think, on my Sunday night.
I think, like Craig, I'm off it, if I'm being honest.
You're off it, but you're in hospitality again. Shock horror for the Dundee United game, Ross.
I don't necessarily have to have a drink, though, because it's not full-on hospitality on Friday night.
Who are you going with this time?
I'm actually going with a Dundee United fan. So the pair of us will be there, and our family are United fans as well. So I'm hoping it's me that's got the one-upmanship come 9:25, which is the most random time to finish on a Friday night. So yeah, I'm hoping it's me that's got the bragging rights.
I do like the idea, however. Who was it that suggested this, Ross, that we get you to review prawn sandwiches?
Someone said it. I can't remember who said it.
But I do like this idea. So every week on the show, you review a prawn sandwich. So we got, you know, we do the Tesco one, we do the Sainsbury's one, we do the Boots one, and we just get you to review prawn sandwiches. I quite like this. Maybe get sponsored by one of the local cafes, like Bert and Bob's could sponsor it, or, you know, one of the local cafes in the town, and you review prawn sandwiches. What about that?
Bert and Bob, my God, is this the level we're coming to for content? Jesus. Now listen, if somebody wants to make this happen, but I'm not actually a huge fan of prawn sandwiches.
What do you go for in your meal deal?
But you know, I'm really boring. I would go for like a wee ham sandwich or something like that.
That's boring.
Boring, but no, I'm yeah.
Do you know what I do in my meal deal? And this is, I try and see how what the most expensive meal deal I can get and how much money I can save. See if you want a cheat code, by the way. Sainsbury's and Larbert, right? Here's your cheat code, right? You can get a coffee. You can get, what did I get today? I got a coffee, a croissant, and a turkey sandwich, because the Christmas sandwiches are out now, by the way. I love a wee Christmas sandwich. So I got that. You know how much I saved, Ross, on my meal deal? £3.95. Who's winning life? Who is winning life? £3.50 for the meal deal. Coffee, croissant, and a sandwich. Boom! In your face, Sainsbury's.
Are you not meant to have like a packet of crisps or a chocolate
you play the system, Ross. You play the Sainsbury's meal deal system. You get a snack, that's your croissant. You get your hot drink, which normally costs £3.30. But if you put in a meal deal, £3.50. So basically you're getting your sandwich, and you're getting your cross on for 20p.
God, you can tell you're from Kinnaird Village with a croissant on a Sunday, aren't you? Get a rolling square down you.
right, okay, that's it for Falkirk Daft. Give us your meal deal cheats. Have you ever seen Rate My... A whole different avenue is Rate My Meal Deal. Go and check that out online. It's absolutely brilliant. But please subscribe, rate, review us on Apple, Spotify. Subscribe to the channel. Like and subscribe. We should start doing YouTube stuff like unboxing things. Like, see, when we got the Heritage Top, we should have done an unboxing of the Heritage Top thing, and just, which is basically just ripping off the plastic. We should have done that. But there you go. You can do all that. Check out us on YouTube. Listen, Christmas is coming up as well. And you know what your loved one wants? Some Falkirk Daft merch. That's what they want. We'll put out all the links. The links are below. Check out our range of Falkirk Daft merch. Listen, Santa's going to be good. That's what they want. That's what all the kids want. They just want their Falkirk Daft merch. You know, forget these PlayStation 5s, everything. Falkirk Daft merch is where it's at. You can get t-shirts, hoodies, full shebang, dog bandanas, which I love. Baby grows with Falkirk Daft on it. If you're having a, like, the baby Jesus, even maybe have one. I'm talking shite now, I really need to get going. But yeah, Falkirk Daft merch, get it now, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. That is merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. I'm sure we've got lots of offers coming up on the website for that. So get it for your Christmas, get it for your loved ones. And like I say, every penny we make off the merch goes back into the club one way or the other. Normally because Ross agrees to basically sponsor everything on behalf of the podcast.
Not just me that does that, though, John.
Right, okay, I did say when Tamang Heritage Top came on, right, we're definitely sponsoring that. So yes, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And thanks again to Haldane Construction. Peter, hopefully he's not as hungover as we are. And thanks to his wife Marie for coming up back last night once again. Right, thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. Dundee United is next. A nice little break from the league, because that's actually 2 weeks without the league, because we've got the Scottish Cup and the Trust Trophy, so it's quite a nice, it feels the pressures a wee bit off, do you know what I mean? We want to do well, certainly in the Scottish Cup, because we want to get money for the club, and I fancy our chances against Fermanagh, I have to say, but you know, I guess every game we want to win, but it's just a little less pressure I feel. I'm a little, the next couple of weeks I'll be a bit like,
so, we don't look over our shoulder.
Exactly.
Although we might keep a wee eye on, see if we get any injuries or sendings off.
Fingers crossed. Great. All right. Okay. Till next time then.
Expect them.